You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. Excuse me, that's our old sponsor. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app, of course. Davidson's as well. We love all of our sponsors here. I am your host, Rudo. AJ will be joining me shortly as he is just wrapping up doing the interviews post-game with the players and coaches. So he will be jumping in soon, but what a game we have to talk about today as the Avs defeat the Dallas Stars 4-0 in what was, in my opinion, a near-perfect game for the Colorado Avalanche. Sure, there were some mistakes along the way, but the style of play fit the Avs to a T, and Dallas just could not hang with them pretty much at all. Even in a slower second period, the Avs completely took control of the game and really wasn't very close. Dallas had been marked as the weakest team in this Western round robin, and the Avs showed exactly why in this game. On the other side of that, the Avs, with their domination, they really didn't get that much production out of their big guns. Sure, they were dangerous, they had a lot of threats, but the finishing came a lot from the new guys. You got goals out of Donskoy, you got a goal out of Burakovsky, one goal out of Kale McCarr on the power play, which was very nice, but production mostly coming from new acquisitions on the season. Another goal from Vlad Namesnikov as well. So this was not a Avs top players carry them to the victory by any sense of the word. It was them as a team just completely controlling and beating Dallas. It was so good, it was boring. I wouldn't go that far. I thought the goals were very fun. The second period, yeah, was a little bit slow, but the first and thirds was the Avs showing off that they can be a threat on nearly every single possession that they have. That was exciting. Obviously, the big story of the game, Pavel Francouz getting the shutout. Look, AJ said it on the other show after our post-game show after game one. If Francouz wanted to make a case for himself to keep himself in net for these playoffs, he was going to have to do something exactly like this. Dallas didn't have that many fantastic opportunities against him, but when you don't let any goals in, you got to think you look pretty good, and that'll be interesting now. The Avs have gotten two very good performances. They still have one round-robin game up against Vegas, which could very well mean something for the potential first seed of the bracket. So are they going to go with Grubauer? Do they stick with the unwritten rule of your goalie gets a shutout and you play him again? That's a bit of a tough question. I really don't know where to put this goaltending situation. I think Grubauer certainly had the harder night going up against not only a better St. Louis team, but a St. Louis team that put more dangerous opportunities on net. Whereas Francouz faced a Dallas team that, I mean, let's be honest, by midway through the third period, they had packed it in. They knew that game was over. And Francouz made solid saves. He had one very, very nice one late in the game and a handful of good flurries of activity. But Dallas wasn't consistently putting grade A chance threats against him. So we'll see. I'm not honestly sure which way they decide to go. Either way, the Avs just played a full complete game in this one. And this is the Avalanche team, the healthy Avalanche team that teams are going to fear quite a bit in these playoffs. You want to know why teams believe the Avs can win the Stanley Cup this year? Watch this game. Because Dallas never really had a chance, even from puck drop. The Avs just looked dominant top to bottom. And I think one of the big, big keys to that is we're starting to see something from the Avalanche that we haven't seen enough of. that is their forwards playing significantly better defense throughout this game. We have a couple clips of Mikko Rantanen, actually, which was the one that stood out to me that I'm sure we can bring up in a second here. But the Avs were back-checking harder than I've ever seen them all season. It's a tough situation for the team as a whole. There are guys you can rely on, right? You know Kadri's going to back-check well. You know Landeskog's going to back-check well. Guys you don't expect to back-check as well, Nathan McKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, Andrei Burakovsky. These dudes are paid on the team to play offense. Let's be honest about it. That's what they're here to do. But there's a mentality in the Avalanche right now that everyone has to be responsible. Everyone needs to fill their role, and they'll get the job done one way or another. And Dallas didn't really have an answer for that. When the Avs committed to what they needed to do, Dallas kind of just folded, to be honest with you. Really interested to see how this plays out against a better and more offensively minded team in Vegas coming up this weekend. As St. Louis, yes, very good team, but not a team that's going to run and gun like the Avs like to do. Dallas kind of the same way on a lesser scale, probably not quite as dangerous offensively, even as someone like St. Louis. And then you have Vegas, who's just going to absolutely open up the ice and go ham all the way through. So we'll see if the Avs can keep up the strong defensive play against a team like that. But what I do expect is that game is going to be a lot of fun, especially depending on how things shake out. Officially, as it stands, we have a great bunch of play coming up, and I can't wait for it. But it does look like we have some of those Mikko highlights ready. I can show you what I mean when the Avs are back-checking. So here's Mikko. He ends up coming all the way through, and then this play just absolutely blows up Radulov. Don't see Mikko playing that physically defensively very often, and he stepped it up. The game was over at that point. This was in the third period, and this game was wrapped up, basically. But the Avs are staying committed to their defensive play and willing to give up the body to do what is needed. So that's nice to see. His other clip, I think, is even better. As you're going to see him, he nearly gets beat around the outside here and then gets back, uses his insane 6'5" reach to make the poke check and knock Jamie Benn off the puck. That is good defense. It's just straight up good defense. First of all, he was covering back from a defenseman to start with. And then instead of just getting beat out wide, like we see happen to forwards all the time in this league, he makes the correct play, nearly gets beat, but recovers and just completely diffuses a play that could have been a dangerous scoring chance against. Again, he wasn't the only one either. We've seen significantly better defense from McKinnon as well. And when you're talking about the Avs top line playing strong defense like that, if there's any consistency to that at all, forget it. I mean, the Avs are just never going to get beat at the top of their lineup. That's just the way that it is. So again, I'm super excited about everything as we get some more comments in here. Well-rounded team. Yep, of course, it's great. Excuse me. Had a few too many beers. AJ will be on in just a minute. He's finishing up doing the post-game stuff. So I am just excited, man. This is the Avs team I wanted to show up for the playoffs. And now that they have, what I don't know what there is to say. It was a fantastic hockey game, top to bottom. Officially, as things stand, the Avs have already secured a top three seed in the West. They can no longer finish in the fourth seed, as the Dallas Stars are now 0-2. The Avs 2-0. Realistically, very, very likely that they get a top two seed. The only scenario they finish in third is if Vegas specifically loses to the St. Louis Blues tomorrow night in overtime. And then both the Blues and Vegas need to win their third game, Vegas facing Colorado, obviously, there. That's the only way they finish in third, and the odds of that are quite low, to say the least. So the Avs looking very strong for a top two seed, and they beat Vegas straight up. They get the number one seed in the West. That means they have the easiest route, and especially in a year like this where there's going to be reseeding every single round, they get the easiest path by quite a wide margin when it comes to the playoffs and pushing towards the actual Stanley Cup and quest for the asterisk itself. So what does that mean in the long term? Honestly, I'm still not sure how much you can take out of these round robin games. It's clear the Avs are still working up to full potential, even with dunking on the Stars tonight a little bit. We saw, yeah, obviously Francois with the shutout, But also Matt Nieto got into this game instead of Tyson Jost. The Avs are still testing the waters on a number of different things when it comes to their lineup. And I think that might even be scarier than originally thought, because it doesn't matter. The Avs' fourth line could be a number of guys, and they make it work. Their entire lineup can be fluid. Vlad Namestnikov playing on the top line tonight absolutely crushed it. Ended up scoring the goal, obviously, but the top line looked way more dangerous than it did with Andre Burakovsky on it. And Burakovsky knocked back down to a third line role for a lot of the night, and he scored a goal too. So all of a sudden, these minor moves that the Avs are allowed to make because their lineup is so deep, because their lineup is so good, and they all worked, and all of a sudden everything clicks together, and the Dallas Stars just get made to look like fools. It's perfect. It is really perfect. The Avs could not be playing better at a better time. The momentum is already starting to roll in their favor, regardless of how this third game of the round robin goes for them. So I'm excited. I can't wait for more. And it does look like we have AJ in from the interviews. How'd they go, AJ? How were the interviews?
It's a good thing I'm still awake.
So quality, your standard NHL interview.
This is a team that is super not impressed with themselves. That's for sure.
After a 4-0 smashing?
Yeah. They just look like they're ready to go play golf or something. Like, they're good, dude. They're
gotta love that, man.
Of course, they had Domestikov, Francouz, and Makar, so.
So, maybe not the best interviewers, but.
Yeah, well, and then Bednar just talking a lot about the lineup changes and what he likes to see. And really, when all of your players are playing as well as the Avs guys are, what do you say? Hey, everybody's playing great, you know?
Yep.
When I bailed, he was talking about goaltending and how the goaltenders are pretty much dead even. And it's like, look, what do you do? You and I talked about it the other day and said, hey, Grubauer put himself ahead, but if Frankie comes out and has a 35 save shutout, then you're right back to where you started. I don't know how many shots on goal. He
24. We can get the official 27 by the end of the game.
All right. So 27 save shutouts. What's the difference between that and a 35 save shutout at that point? I mean, other than 8 saves, you're nowhere. Like, you're at this point, what you're doing is you're having an honest conversation where somebody's, if they repeat the schedule that they had from the qualifying round where there's a back-to-back, you play them both. Yep. You know, we've seen like Winnipeg, Montreal.
Try those to ride teams, one goaltender, yep.
Yeah, those teams have to play that one guy. They've got that one dude that they have to do it. So they're in a position where if they are if they're looking at a back-to-back sometime in their first round series, they've got such a huge advantage over everybody in that both of their goalies are rocking and rolling right now. And like a lot of these other platoons are in the qualifying round, you know, a team like Pittsburgh had Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry. Well, they've been rolling with Matt Murray. They're not flipping. And so now if they wanted to try and do something, one guy's going to be rusty. And yeah, Carolina is a team that's gotten away with it. They've done just fine with managing this. Colorado is also doing the same thing. They've got two guys who are just rolling.
And Carolina put themselves in a situation going up 2-0 in the series where they could give an opportunity to play Reimer instead.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show how picking up a couple of wins is honestly more important for Carolina than the Avs here. But it gives you so much more openness when it comes to your lineup.
Yeah, I don't know who I would start on Saturday. I would probably just go back to Grubauer, and somebody has to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you're kind of in the same boat you were in during the regular season, where even when they split the game in half against Minnesota, Grubauer had the tougher task.
Yep.
Frankie had the better numbers.
It's honestly, that's been the story of Francouz's pretty much entire season.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the regular season was the same way. Yeah. Grubauer got the number one gig. He got the harder starts. Francouz got the classic, like, backup starts. and against easier opponents, et cetera, et cetera. And then just put up better numbers. And now we're here in the round robin and the same thing, the exact same thing has played out.
Yeah. I think we have a little bit of Frankie highlights here. Didn't have too much, but he didn't face that many tough shots. This is one of the few where Corey Perry gets a breakaway late in the game and he's able to get the shoulder on one. He looked pretty darn rock steady, right? Like, it's Francois. Rebound control is always going to be a little bit off compared to top flight goalies. Like, let's just be honest about that. But sure, he's able to make the saves. He's able to be athletic enough to get the job done.
His biggest scare of a goal, I mean, he got a huge break on, which is pretty consistent with Frankie's season, where he just randomly seems to get both great goal support and at least one really crazy bounce that just goes his way. He got that on the play that had to be reviewed, where the puck slipped between his legs, stopped on the goal line, and then whichever Stars player reached in there with his stick totally whiffed on it, and the puck just sat there. Yep. Did not go in, got super lucky, and look at that. Their relationship is awesome. I mean, you look at these two guys, look at, they got big old smiles on their faces, and they're laughing it up, skating off the ice together. That's awesome, man. It's really cool that those guys have the relationship they do despite being in the competition they're in. They're just trying to win a Stanley Cup.
Foolishly did not send this to our producer, but I do have the play with Blake Como kind of running in on Francois, and you'll see the second angle here when they go to the top view of just how close this puck was. You can see it right there. Pretty definitively not a goal.
Yeah.
But boy, don't get much closer than that.
Yeah. Well, and you can see Fox's stick here. He comes in to try and bang it home and just goes right over top of it.
Yeah. Just clean misses, basically. So I agree. Number one Avs fan, I do think Como pretty much shoved Francois with his stick on that play. So it would have been a very interesting review had the puck gone in. We'll put it that way. But you know, we'll take our first period break there, as it is time to acknowledge Breckenridge Brewery. I'm going to try and show you this beer, but I'm realizing, this beer has a green.
It's green.
Yeah. you can pick That's up amazing. Your Breckenridge Brewery from Davidson's or your local liquor store, or down at the source at the farmhouse in Littleton. And of course, over at the DNVR bar with 8 of them on tap, you can even get RK's special. I forget what the mix is. It's a strawberry sky and a one of the I'm not sure he mixes a couple of the beers. Look it up. He says it's really good. I honestly haven't tried it yet, but pick up your Breckenridge Brew one way or another and help support one of our favorite partners. Uh-oh, guy's got something to say, but he's muted.
That RK special is a hot peak mixed with the strawberry sky.
Is that what he's drinking? Okay. Right behind you.
I was going to say, he's drinking right something. There. Yeah. He's having an RK right special.
There you go. So the hot peak in the strawberry sky, get on it. And of course, head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook, DraftKings.com/sportsbook for some of the best bets out there. I mean, look, a bet on the Avs right now seems like a great bet to make. That's all I'm saying.
I went on DNVR Best today and said put money on Cale Makar to score the first goal. So,
woo, easy money. Easy money.
It was like plus 2,000. I was like, dude.
Easiest money you've ever made right there. AJ.
It's too funny.
Based on your first round, I guess round zero, really, predictions, your bets are looking hot, man. Your bets are looking hot right now. That's all I'm going to say about that. But if you want to bet on anything in the hockey world, basketball world, baseball world, or crazy sports like table tennis, real tennis, golf, you name it, you can head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. And when you sign up today, you will get a great deal of, you can put a $20 bet on any team you like and get $100 when you win. That's 5-1 odds on your first bet just because at DraftKings Sportsbook. So jump on it, download DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DNVR when you sign up to make sure you get that deal, as well as $1,000 sign up bonus. So you can get everything you need from them. Be sure to jump on it while you still can, as the odds do change pretty quickly here. They have a bunch of amazing odds boosts, but you got to get on them while they're still out there. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. As AJ's giggling over there.
I just like that you can't say the word eligibility.
I know. It's awful. I every time I get you the first right, and it. Then eligibility. The bar is amazing. Thank you, Cygnus.
Cygnus got to check out the bar for the first time tonight. Confirmed what we've already known. It's dope.
It is dope. It is so dope. It's awesome. That's all I have to say about it. I can't wait until things get better and we can use it fully proper. But we'll get to that when we get there. For now, we have an Avs win to continue talking about. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. AJ, you were talking about Cale Makar scoring the first goal of the game. We can go ahead and bring up that clip here. Avs on the power play early. They're working the puck around the perimeter here. And if Cale Makar is going to shoot the puck, honestly, this is how I want to see it happen. One-timer, no thought about it, just a bomb right to the top corner.
I love that Kadri gets an assist for the puck hitting his skate.
Right. Yep.
While he's losing his balance. Just easy points right now for that guy.
When it's working, man. You know, don't fix it or don't break it.
It is what it is, dude. You just roll with it.
True enough.
Now, that's honestly, that was it's a great shot. It's a great screen. To be honest, that Landeskog pass, really underrated.
He's very good at that, too.
That little one-time backhand, he already knew what he wanted to do with it. Yep. It was flat. All Makar had to do was just let it go. And we don't see him do that a whole lot. I remember during when he was at UMass, he had that big bomb against, I think it was Michigan.
Yeah, right at the end of that season. At the end of the year, and he just unleashed one.
And everybody was like, oh my God, Makar. And we were like, that's not something he doesn't do
that normally. Yeah.
So if he's just going to start adding that to the arsenal, all y'all looking out.
The hype machine there has been out of control for a long time. But if he's going to add another weapon, I mean, Quinn Hughes, that's all I got to say about that.
I've used that Quinn Hughes thing so many times this year. I don't even know how he's doing in that series.
They won their game today, so Vancouver. Yeah. I don't know on Quinn Hughes specifically, but
I don't know how he's doing. I also don't care.
Got him,
because it's whatever. That's as I also mentioned on DNVR Bets today, that's a series where somebody is playing for the privilege of getting taken to Pound Town in round one.
There you go.
So, maybe. Yeah, this is.
You made it to round one, and then you're about to have a bad time, basically. About a week ago now, no offense to EJ, but after watching years of him shooting a new opponent's shins, Makar is nice.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not bad. It's not bad. That's for sure. About a week ago, AJ, you did the preview piece on the new guys. Safe to say they've shown up so far in the round robin, given Kadri with a 0.1 second game winner and then both Burakovsky and Donskoy scoring tonight.
And then the other new guy that I didn't have time to, or I didn't have room to put in that piece, was Nemestikov,
who also scored tonight. I believe we have clips of all of the goals as well. The first one was Donskoy's here off the faceoff as the power play's expiring again. This one, Girard gets it to the net. Donskoy knocks it down, and Khudobin ends up looking like a fool on.
Look, okay, first of all, he's up on Anton. He's my guy. Second of all,
Houston Arrow, Anton Khudobin. Now I know why he's your guy. Oh, he's so much of your guy, you lagged. Nice.
It's right. I was there for his first ever professional game in North America, so I've always got that in my back pocket. Anton is my boy. But the key with that goal is that Girard got a shot through traffic.
Yep.
We talk about it all the time. He either misses the net or it gets blocked up high and it's not dangerous. That he was able to get it through and it turned into something good. I mean, it's a great break that the puck just dribbles right to a guy who's not covered. Nice coverage, Dallas. But really that he gets the shot through that shows you, like, look, when G is getting pucks through traffic, it's dangerous.
Yep.
And he had a couple of different situations today where it was like that spin move that he put on where he, and then he circled into the middle of the offensive zone.
Through on that one as well.
Right. That's another shot that got through and was dangerous. That's Sam Girard looked freaking awesome today. That, I mean, that pairing destroyed Dallas. I mean, destroyed, laid waste to Dallas. They were nothing against that. That was a true top pairing performance where their Corsi was like 80% tonight. It was so stupid. They dominated the Stars.
I mean, you love to hear it. And talking about the power play there, Burkowski would add one later in the game. The Avs nearly went 3 for 5 on the power play, and which we saw them excel against Dallas when they weren't playing aggressively. Mm-hmm. They were able to take advantage of that passive penalty kill and do nearly whatever they wanted with the puck.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes as they get deeper into the playoffs, especially, I think, you know, once teams get footage on that again, it might be a bit harder to come by. But special teams was one of the major concerns for this team.
Yeah. I wrote it in my, I barely remember writing a preview of this game at 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday that was up on the site today. Special teams was the difference. Colorado's ability to finish and special teams is going to be a big, big determining factor in whether or not the Avs were going to be able to take out the Stars.
Yep.
Because Colorado giving up free goals to Dallas on the, on special teams was a huge factor in the season series turning out the way that it did.
No one knew.
And today.
Okay.
I wonder where Guy is now.
Why are you staring at me like that, AJ?
No, it's it was just where it happened. I mean, is Guy just like, did you just
Guy
like
ran into
out?
The bathroom, and so I was covering for him, but he's here now. But before he took over again, I just wanted to say that was an awesome one. Look, you've got more people saying hello.
I thought you were like pulling rank and you were like, get out of here, I just want to say go.
No, he had to, I was just being nice and taking over while he went to the bathroom, but now he's back and I guess I'll go. But that was an awesome win, and
oh yeah, it was. Yeah,
I'll see hopefully a good amount of Avs fans on Saturday.
Let's go, baby. All right. Yeah, I think Allie put it pretty darn well. Papalock says, feels like McKinnon's only going 80% so far. Disagree. I think that dude is on full motor, man.
He's at 110% already.
The only thing he doesn't have is a goal because it just hasn't come. But the dude has been creating chance after chance after chance.
Yeah.
So it's exciting times. He's the reason Vlad Namestnikov ended up scoring the third goal for the Avs, if we have that clip. Able to find a puck in the middle of the ice and put one on net. And we have it here, a bit of a long clip, I think, but the Avs are able to, first of all, create a turnover thanks to Namestnikov into the neutral zone.
Aggressive, I was going to say,
Rantman.
That stick from Namestnikov creates all of this. And then he just drifts. If you watch him, he just drifts to open space where the
finds
defense
the soft
isn't.
Spot. Yep, exactly.
I wanted to give Anton a hug after that. He looked exhausted.
Yeah, he looked pretty done. He was not happy with life.
He's like, could one of you guys please cover one of these fools in front of the net? Like, I understand, like, getting beat by Makar slapper, like, that's on me, but these
you
other two goals.
Left,
like,
McKinnon wide open in the slot, and I made that save, and you guys still didn't help me out.
Like, I stopped McKinnon all 6 times, and the one leaky rebound that I give up, you guys can't help me out. It's so messed up. The other thing, McKinnon, really good game in both the faceoff circle at 58% tonight, and he was really good defensively.
Yeah, I talked about that a little bit before you came on. Between him and Rantanen, I thought this was one of the best defensive performances from the Avs forward core I've seen this year.
They were so committed to coming back hard on the Stars, and you could just see like how limited Dallas is talent-wise when it comes to offense, that the arguably their best chances was the Como, the Como clip that we played earlier, and then Gurianov when he got loose in transition. Yep. Those are their best scoring chances of the game. And when they are not allowing, when Colorado's not allowing cycle pressure, dude, they're so good. Because that's one of their big weaknesses, is that they don't handle teams that want to cycle on them hard. They don't handle it very well. And they didn't allow Dallas to set up shop and do anything today. I thought Tyler Seguin was flying out there. He was their most dangerous looking player. Guy didn't do anything.
It's hard when there's nothing around you, man. I mean, Jamie Benn was stumbling over himself all game. It was the struggle of the game for him, but
he might not be good anymore.
That's a very, very real possibility, unfortunately, for Dallas.
Yeah. But I mean, and I mean, like, he's been in steady decline from like when he won a
couple of years now.
When he won the Art Ross with like 85 points. And then it's been a slow decline since hip surgery a couple of years ago. He looks bad.
Like, get no bad. Argument from me there. We do have to take our second period break here, as it is time for my favorite. AJ, do you know what day it is?
Actually, I have no idea. Is it Wednesday?
It is Wednesday. You know what Wednesday is? Wednesday is hump day. And before you get your hump on, you might want to hit up Manscaped to get the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer and make yourself look good below the belt, because that's what hump day is all about, baby. You can also pick up their perfect package, which includes a bunch of freshening products, whether it be that trimmer. You get some shears as well if you're just looking to, you know, touch up the edges a little bit. Whatever you need, some spray-on toner, some anti-chafe deodorant. You can even go outside of that, get breath mints, cologne, you name it. They will take care of you and get you fresh above, below, all over the body. You're good to go. Head to manscaped.com. As you can see down there, you get 20% off when you use code DNVR20 and free shipping as well. Get on it. Use your Manscaped. Get ready to go. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. AJ, who is our DraftKings king of the game?
I gave it to Donskoy.
I like it. The 2 points, man.
The second goal was huge. It really put them on a trajectory to an easy win, because that first goal, it gets you out, it gets you a quick lead, you're feeling good, feeling sexy. That second goal really separates you. And then, you know, he gets the assist later on, just played really well, was consistently good through the neutral zone, carrying pucks in. Really, I thought he's looked so good in the last couple of games, that if this was the version of Donskoy that was well on his way to smashing his career highs and everything. Yep. And not the one who has a tendency to disappear for long stretches. This is the one who scored in game 7 to beat Colorado last year. This is the good Donskoy.
Hard to argue with that. I think you bring up a really good point. We saw the game was significantly slowed down in pace in the second period after the Avs went up 2-0 into the first intermission. And by the third period, Dallas had pretty much packed it in. So, Donskoy's goal, huge in putting Dallas into a mindset of where they've been there before and they're done with this, I think. So,
yeah.
Ultimately, I have to agree. I think Donskoy is a great king of the game. He's the only player in the entire game. Nope, sorry. Sam Girard had 2 assists. So, Girard and Donskoy were the only 2 players with 2 points in the game.
Bergoski.
Yeah, Bergoski had 2 as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm blind. Either way, I guess I can't read. There's a case to be made for Francois, probably, given he had a shutout, but we kind of already talked about it. Yes, shutout's great. The workload, not so difficult.
Right. Doing your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, really, the two scoring chances, Gurionov, Como, the Perry breakaway, that was really it, man. 23 saves that stand out among 27. That's just good work. I don't think it was Makar's first postseason game-winning goal. I believe that happened in his first game.
Yep, the first game ended up being the game winner, I believe.
Yeah, he got the third goal, and they ended up winning 6-2. So,
yep.
He didn't even have to wait long to do that, dude.
He just that good. You kind of alluded to Bednar talking about the lineup changes. Namestnikov on the top line. Burakovsky was kind of all over the lineup tonight, but, you know, moved down to the third line. I thought Burakovsky looked much, much better in this game. And ultimately that led up to the Avs' fourth goal of the game, where we finally saw a traditional Andrei Burakovsky goal. Ended up getting a little bit lucky with it, but he seems to only score when he goes post and in. So I don't know if we have the clip or not, but Burra looked classic basically in his goal here. Yeah, here we go. All right, perfect. The Avs again on the power play, by the way.
This again, Donskoy right there, really underrated decision, the way that he circled out.
Yep.
Donskoy created all of this space. Because if you watch, Gurianov goes with him the entire time. I'm sorry, Hintz goes with him the entire time. It yep. created all that space for Burakovsky. And then he floated up top of the puck, just makes a stupid shot because he's unbelievable, and then gets lucky with the bounce.
Yeah. Besides MacKinnon, is there anyone other than Burakovsky you want even taking that shot? I mean, maybe Mikko.
Makar would be the only other one.
Sure. That's fair.
So could we actually play that again?
We have the replays of it if you just let it run as well.
Yeah. So watch right here. Watch how much space he creates because he's running out of options. And then watch how Hintz just floats away. Yep. It creates all of that space.
Nice read from Girard to make the pass as well.
Yeah. And like that's all the power play is it's exploiting the open space that the extra guy gives you. And it was a perfect use of it. It's not like a high quality shot, but when you're a high quality shooter, all shots are high quality,
yep.
right?
Yep. Right. If it's on net, it's a decent shot. Then we'll see here. The technically barring in, but Burakovsky, maybe a little bit due, maybe a little bit lucky, whatever it was. You'll see this puck doesn't actually enter the net initially. It's right. it's square crossbar here off of Khudobin's leg and then eventually into the net.
You got to feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, Khudobin just couldn't buy one tonight, unfortunately yeah. for him.
We do have to mention the Stars were missing one of their best players in John Klingberg and obviously Ben Bishop. Like, Khudobin had a career year. He's a very good backup goaltender. Borderline starter, kind of their own Pavel Francouz, honestly. But Ben Bishop's a different animal.
We live in a world where you can't be bringing your backup against the Avs anymore.
Yeah. And a PS, they've already said, the Stars have already said, both Bishop and Klingberg are expected to play on Sunday in their last round robin game.
Cool.
Good for them. You never know, like with them in the bubble and with the unfit to play designation.
Yeah.
You're worried about positive testing and then the trickle down effect of all of those things. So it's good to know that they're good to go on Sunday. But important to note, like, Colorado did take advantage of a situation here that favored them.
For sure.
Those two guys aren't the difference between the ass whooping the Avs just laid on them and
definitely still a dub, I think. But yeah. You know, before we give them the cup already, it's we got to pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Avs are not guaranteed a top two seed. They're like 98% unless a one specific scenario plays out, which AJ actually tweeted about earlier. But Vegas has to lose in overtime, I believe.
Yeah, so let's just do this. St. Louis has to beat Vegas in overtime tomorrow and then beat Dallas to make them 2-1.
And then Colorado has to beat Colorado in reg.
And then Vegas has to beat Colorado in regulation. And then Vegas would be 2-0-1. And then they would obviously have the tiebreaker. They would have the advantage over the Avs because of the overtime loss and no regulation loss. And then St. Louis would be 2-1 in that case.
And have
they have the tiebreaker over the Avs. So that would put Colorado as the 3 seed. But that's the one specific situation in which that happens. And Ben Bishop's going to be back. So YOLO.
YOLO, indeed.
Yeah.
I talked about it before you jumped on the show, AJ, but I'm super excited for this Vegas game now.
These are the two best teams out west, in my opinion. And when we did our prediction show, we all had it Colorado Vegas 1-2.
It's not just that, it's the play styles.
Yeah.
The Avs have played two relatively defensive teams. And Vegas is certainly to more of an extent than St. Louis and Dallas is gonna want to run and gun with Colorado.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for some fun hockey, to say the least.
I mean, the Avs have played three very different teams since they got to the bubble. They've got a plus six goal differential. It's 9-3 total. They're rolling, man.
Yep.
I feel super homerish because we keep picking the Avs to do all this stuff, and they're this and they're that, right? Like honestly, they're rolling. They're the best team. They're on fire, and right now there's nothing going wrong for them.
That's my next point I was going to bring up. I was going to ask you, can you point out any negatives in this game? Because I said it off the top of the show. This was not a perfect game, but dang if it wasn't pretty close for the Avalanche.
Right. It pushes the envelope of it because it's right there.
Yep. So I don't know what more you can possibly want if you're the Avs. They're rolling. They've got the momentum. They're beating other top four teams in the Western Conference, whatever you think of Dallas, to be honest. But the Avs have put themselves in such a fantastic situation where realistically, they're very likely to end up with a top two seed. Who they play, we'll have to wait and see as situations keep sorting themselves out. But I mean,
I disagree. It's fine. With the comment that they just highlighted you can't take anything away from beating the Lowly Stars. It's like, look, the Avs, there were you and I had kind of summarily dismissed them, and there were people who were like, oh, how could you guys do that? They're bad, but they've beaten the Avs all four times this year. Look, eight straight losses, the 4 months have gone in between their six-game losing streak that they came in on and
Dallas,
the two that they have here. Like,
can you make an argument that Dallas is not the fourth best team in the West? Absolutely. Yeah. Can you make an argument that Dallas is not a playoff team? No. That team was making the playoffs.
They were going to make it more interesting than it should have been.
Right. But Dallas,
that they were on a losing streak 4 months ago back in March it's irrelevant.
Agreed.
To me. It just doesn't matter. What happened 4 months ago just does not matter. They were different teams. That's like assuming that every team that comes back from the summer break is the exact same team that left. Like, teams are healthier, teams are just different. And you would have thought Dallas, given the guys that they've added, the Pavelskis and the Perrys, the older guys.
Yeah, the aged depth, yeah.
You would have thought that the break would have helped them because they had all that time off.
Not as worn down heading into the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you take away your starting goaltender and then you take away arguably your best defenseman, depending on how you feel, Klingberg versus Haskinen, it's like Girard versus McCarr, right? Like, you're so much better with both of those guys.
Yep. No argument there. As much as I love talking up Dallas, I do have to show this clip. Stephen Johns straight up running.
This was awesome. I don't know what Stephen Johns is doing.
Yeah, right. Like, there, no one touches him. He just tackles Khudobin into his own net, and then the shot hits him right in the butt. But that was one of the strangest plays I've maybe ever seen. So what can you say after that?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was weird when it happened live. It's funny now. It didn't cost him anything. At the time, it was kind of frustrating because the Avs had blown two open nets. To make that game 2-0,
it could have been 3-0 at that point. Very easily.
And then Donskoy made it 2-0, and they were rolling downhill at that point. And it was like, nothing's gonna stop these guys now.
Nothing is going to stop these guys now. I like that slogan for the rest of the playoffs. Avs are undefeated in the bubble. AJ, any final thoughts on this game, on where the Avs stand and chasing down that number one seed?
I mean, Clash of the Titans on Saturday, right?
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Root for regulation tomorrow. Vegas, St. Louis. I don't really care who wins, to be honest. Just root for regulation. The Avs take care of business. They take care of business. Curious what they're going to do lineup-wise. Nieto, Jost, Franzos, Grubauer.
I'm curious particularly in that what they go with.
Yeah.
Unwritten rule about shutouts and all that, but...
Yeah, I really... I'm not. I don't know about that, man. I just think that.
I think I'd probably side with you, but yeah. Either way,
we're gonna get too good.
You can't go wrong. When it's a win-win, it's a win-win. So, if you want to get a win-win of your own, and you're thinking about heading back to college, MSU Denver Online is the place for you. With things still very funny on how you're trying to go to school in the coming months, MSU Denver has you covered with over 40 different programs, which can be taken either fully online or as a hybrid once things do get going back in the classroom as well. So they have you covered. If you have any questions about it, both Ali Monroy and Harrison Wind of DNVR did take classes over the summer. So be sure to ask them any questions you want. The professors are often from the industries that they are teaching about and can give you real world experience instead of just in the classroom learning, and are also great networking options. So check out MSU Denver Online today and get your college education kick started. We're going to get out of here for this post-game show as another celebratory one here. I like being in the winner's lounge, AJ. I'm not going to lie to you. Hopefully that is a trend that keeps happening over the next 2 months. But as always, we will be back tomorrow to talk more hockey and Free Skate Friday at the end of the week, of course. So be sure to tune into those. But until next time, I know, dude, it comes quick. It comes quick, dude. Once hockey's back, all of a sudden, every day doesn't feel like a month.
Good way to put it.
Either way, that's it for the show today. Thank you, everyone, for listening, watching, however you consumed, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
The NVR Avalanche with Haefeli and Rudo. The NVR Avalanche with Haefeli. Believe.